explore that.
Hi, welcome to the Whistleblower Newsroom. I'm Christina Borgeson here with my co-host Celia Farber. Happy Valentine's Day to everybody. Of course, this show is our Valentine to whistleblowers and truth tellers and reporters looking for accountability and truth. So today we have a very special show for you. The story of murdered DNC staffer Seth Rich, who a number of credible sources are starting to say openly may have been the one who leaked the DNC's emails to WikiLeaks, is heating up big time these days. Of course, Seth Rich, as the possible provider of DNC emails to WikiLeaks, is explosive because it blows up the Russiagate narrative while raising obvious questions about who might have been interested in getting rid of Rich, whose murder remains unsolved. While the DNC and the Washington, D.C. Metropolitan Police have been curiously uninterested in getting to the bottom of Seth's murder, some high-powered DNC-connected law firms have been very interested in helping his brother Aaron attack anyone who raises questions about the possible connection between Seth and WikiLeaks. Our guest today is among those who has, heard from Aaron Rich's lawyers. Investigative reporter Matt Couch is founder of the DC Patriot, an online media outlet where you can also find his Matt Couch Show podcast. He is head of the America First Media Group, a team that investigates and reports on politics across America. He's a young man, which is great. Because, some of us are getting old, and we need to be replaced by smart people with lots of energy, and Matt is one of those. His team investigates and reports on politics across America, and they call themselves the leading investigative team in America on the murder, on the Seth Rich story. Now, I can't prove that empirically, but I can certainly say that based on their output and looking at the people who are coming after Matt for his reporting on Seth Rich, that he has broken more ground on this story than anyone I know of, while, as I alluded to before, stirring up a hornet's nest of legal problems for himself. As a matter of fact, he was just on the phone with his lawyer before coming
just
on here.
Showtime.
Welcome, Matt.
I think
we have a sound issue here.
Know what I think happened? Matt, he's probably still on the phone with his lawyer, so we're going to keep talking for a couple minutes about the Seth Rich case.
Okay.
I think he's just coming in. Is that right, Alex? We got him? We got him.
Matt, are you there?
I am. Yes, ma'am. How are you all?
Welcome.
We're so happy to have you.
We're thrilled to have you.
Sorry to pull you away from your various legal, your legal battle there. You're talking to your lawyers, and we know that you're really, really under siege right now. So thank you for taking the time to talk to us from the battlefront.
Yes. So, Matt, I know we've never had you on this show. So, and we've had other people on the show talking about the Seth Rich story from different
angles. Ty Clevenger, twice. Ed Batowski once.
So just give us a little background on when you started on this story and bring us up to your current situation, if you would.
Sure, absolutely. I literally started on this case back in the fall, early winter of 2016. Bill Pierce, who's one of my brothers, I guess I should call him that. He's a been a licensed private investigator for almost 30 years. He and I were sitting in my office one night, and someone had sent me a link to Julian Assange talking about Seth Rich, and he was on a Dutch TV show unprompted, and we just started looking into it. We listened to it, and it didn't make any sense on why he would mention the name. And Bill and I started digging into it, and as we started to dig in and put information we found out, we had more and more patriots that came on board, you know, like Frank Whalen, who was the head of NYPD homicide for 23 years, is one of my guys who works with me on a constant basis. And then, Josh Flippo, who was, 12 years in the military, four tours in Iraq and Afghanistan. We just started putting this group of guys together, all pro bono, with a crazy background of law enforcement and former agents and military. And the more we peeled the onion back, just nothing made sense. And we've been blocked everywhere we've went. Every FOIA request has been denied. We sent out another dozen FOIA requests last week. They were all denied. This murder will be 4 years old on July 10th of 2020. We just got a FOIA denial back again on the body cams, and their reasoning is it could hamper an ongoing investigation. Ladies, this is a cold case. We're going on 4 years, and they're denying body cams. We have the body cams in the Parkland shooting. A horrific school shooting. We have the body cams in the Las Vegas shooting. Where are the body cams, in the Seth Rich murder? What was said to those four of six officers wearing body cams that night? Obviously, something was said. They're covering it up. And that's just one of hundreds of anomalies in this case. And I'll yield back and let you all kind of restructure where you want to go. But I can keep going on this case. And unfortunately, I've spent the last 3 years of my life working on it. It's cost me everything. So.
Yeah, it's amazing. I'll tell you, when I saw what you discovered about the one and only witness in this case, I almost keeled over. Could you talk about that?
Sure. The only witness that we know of is the police have a witness. I won't mention her name just because I'm getting sued everywhere. I think we've done that in the past, but I won't do it again. But they had a witness who they claimed she was out walking her dogs that night. Now, this was never made. This was never made public, so this is all inside information. And this witness just happened to, you can't make this up, just happened to be a vet tech, just happened to be a pilot. She just happened to be a professional MMA fighter. Oh, and she worked for Leidos, which is a CIA contractor. So that was their witness that was supposedly out walking her dogs at 4:30 that saw two men run into the LaDroit Park project area of Washington, D.C.
What's the CIA contractor? They're a CIA contractor. For doing what?
I don't know. Leidos is a group that hires people for the Central Intelligence Agency. They do a lot of work for the CIA.
Uh-huh.
I don't know exactly what her title was or background was, when she was with Leidos, but it's definitely very interesting. It's a government contract job, and it just so happens that she was the one that was out walking her dog that night. It's very mysterious to us, and the police obviously they didn't pursue that. So it's interesting. We keep getting conflicting reports. You ask for information via FOIA request. They tell you we can't give it to you. It would compromise an ongoing investigation. And then I've got like Detective Antoine Weston of Metro DC Police in their third district, who in July of 17, a year after the murder, was literally attacking me on social media. Several media outlets wrote articles about it. And he was telling me that they'd exhausted all leads and telling me to shut up and stop talking about the case. And it's unbelievable what we've seen in this.
Matt, no doubt I have been persuaded of what correct information and disinformation, but I just want to say a few things, and if you could just say true or false. Is it true that Seth Rich was on the phone around the time he was killed, or maybe even as he was killed, with his girlfriend?
That's what they claim. Now, we have never seen the phone records. That's something that our attorneys are working on subpoenaing the estate of Seth Rich, and I don't believe we've gotten that information yet. Everything that the other side is giving us is marked attorney's eyes only. So,
okay.
That's what the report is in, like, the Washington Post and New York Times, but we've never been able to confirm that.
Okay. Another question. Have you seen any evidence that it's true that he was alive when he got to the hospital and was not expected to die?
No, ma'am. Nothing. Nothing conclusive there. In fact, we tracked down. There was a story on Reddit. We tracked that down. Tracked down all the residents. There's no way of verifying or proving that story.
because there, so then for some reason there is an ER doctor who has made the rounds and gone on certain alternative media shows. Does this sound familiar to you, saying he was an ER? He was, I think, an ER doctor there that night, and that Seth Rich was in a room and was doing okay and not expected to die. And I said, what? I'm not going to say who told me this, but have you heard this, even if it's false?
I have not heard that. In fact, our research shows that he went into emergency surgery. Dr. Christine Trankium is a renowned trauma surgeon. She operated on Seth Rich that night. We have verified that. She is also one of the surgeons who saved Congressman Steve Scalise's life when he was nearly fatally shot at the ball field.
Oh, see, this I didn't know. He was operated on, and because normally with gunshot victims, if they survive the first, what is it, few hours, their chances of survival go way up, right?
Correct. Yeah, he went into emergency surgery. I can even tell you the ambulance picked him up at 4:33. They had him at MedStar Hospital at 4:48. She pronounced him on the operating table at 5:57. So there's some conflicting, you know, reports here as far as, you know, how well he was doing. The only reason why we know that he was talkative is because that's what the first responders and the police told the family. Now, here's the problem with that. You know, we've never been able to talk to any of those people. They're tight-lipped. They have stand-down orders. So basically, you're just the only people that have ever confirmed that he was alive and talking are people like the Washington Post and the New York Times.
Now, I wonder why they would want to say that. Okay. Well, let's carry on. You have had a really intense week in your battle. First of all, if you would characterize...
Who's coming after you?
Characterize the battle for us and then tell us what went down this week.
Sure. So I was sued in March of 2018 by the brother of Seth Rich. In this lawsuit, along with the Washington Times and Ed Batowski, they're claiming that we defamed the brother because we said he was involved in leaking the information, which we believe he was. Ed Batowski is, you all have interviewed Ed, you know.
Yep.
He knows
yep.
what the parents told him. Ed's story has never changed to me. Ed was one of my sources, and I believe Ed. Ed has no reason to lie. Ed has a lot more to lose in this investigation than I do. There's no reason for Ed Batowski to continue on with this if he's not telling the truth. You know, he's lost
right.
millions.
Yep.
So it doesn't make any sense. But we believe, you know, that he was involved with his brother. And the way they're trying to, you know, silence me, I think we're highly over the target. So I was sued in March of 2018. I was literally walking out of an Embassy Suites in Dulles with my group of investigators and got served papers. They found us, you know, 50 Embassy Suites in the D.C. metro area, and they somehow found which one we were at. So it was pretty alarming there as well. And so it just progressed. And so what happened last week was the federal judge in D.C. said that I am not entitled to reporter's privilege, and then I have to hand over all of my source information to the plaintiff, Aaron Rich's attorneys. And we have sources that we have never mentioned their names publicly. We've never played their audios that we have publicly. And it was very alarming. It's definitely against the Constitution. It's against my First Amendment rights. The judge didn't even give a reasoning. He just gave a ruling. And a lot of people that have never been in court, I'm new to this, but I'm learning from my attorney, Eden Quainton out of New York. Quainton Law, he's had my back. He's fighting for me. He's an amazing attorney, and I'm blessed to have him. But I'm learning how this works. And so, you know, a lot of times on a major ruling, they'll give a reasoning on why they ruled that way. This judge doesn't do that very often.
Now, where is this judge? Where is this judge?
He's in Washington, D.C.
Well,
he's in the second highest court in the land.
You know, it's interesting because I was looking at the Digital Media Law Project's website, and the D.C. Shield Law should protect you, you know, because it says the D.C. Shield Law applies to information obtained by any person while employed by the news media and in addition to traditional news media formats, also covers the broader category of any printed, photographic, mechanical, or electronic means of disseminating news and information to the public. So clearly it encompasses people engaging in online publishing of news and information, which you do. And the other thing is, they say that the Shield Protection Law is absolute when it comes to divulging the identity of a source. It says, under no circumstances can courts compel someone covered by the statute above that I just mentioned about who's a journalist, can the court to divulge the identity of a source. So how come you're in this situation?
Well, the problem is D.C. Shield laws have a loophole. They're considering me an amateur journalist. And so amateur journalists are not given the same privilege. And then there's a stipulation in there if you read the Shield law, and that is what they are talking to me about. That's what they're considering,
And what is the criterion?
Yeah, what makes somebody
what's
an
the criterion for an amateur journalist?
See, that's been my argument this entire time, ladies, is, what constitutes an amateur journalist? And I would love to see what constitutes, a journalist, period, as per the Constitution. I mean, Benjamin Franklin wrote under the name Silence Duguid for years. And, they would still consider him, a journalist and freedom of the press. So it's I don't know where they're coming from with this, if that makes any sense, but it's just crazy to me. And so
I think it's legally dubious. I mean,
this is really a bombshell right here. You have been compelled, commanded by a court to turn over all your sources, your source materials. Is that right? Recordings, everything?
Yes, ma'am.
On this case. Wow. So you, of course, are protecting those sources. And they're expecting to be protected, so you're in a no-win situation.
Well, I don't know. Are you protecting them? What are you doing to deal with this? Because,
I don't mean you're choosing to protect them and go to jail. That's not what I mean. I mean, these sources thus far have been protected.
They have been, yes, ma'am. Now, they don't know the names of our sources, but, we had to give over the audios and the recordings. I'll read you this right here from the District of Columbia Protections for Sources and Source Material. This is, he didn't make a ruling, so I can't say that this is what the judge is going off of, but it's the only thing, and it's, I mean, obviously, I've got over 300,000 followers on Twitter alone. If I'm not a journalist, then what are people following for? I promise you it's not my good looks. I can guarantee you that's not it. And it says right here, it says, the Privacy Protection Act may protect you against the search and seizure in connection with a criminal investigation or prosecution of materials you possess in connection with a purpose to disseminate to the public or a newspaper, book, broadcast, or similar form of public communication. This federal statutory protection applies regardless of the state in which you live. But here's the problem. It says, it mentions, the amateur journalist right here. It says, on the other hand, protection for unpublished information is qualified, meaning it will not provide protection in all circumstances. The Shield protects those who are, quote, employed by the news media, definition below, so it may not protect some amateur journalists and others who publish informally and or sporadically.
Well, what news media are they talking about?
They're talking about deep state news media.
No, well, I know.
Legacy media.
I know. Right. That means that unless you're employed by the Washington Post, New York Times,
yes,
ABC, CBS, you aren't a journalist? Is that what
Correct.
They're saying? Boy, they're going to, you know what? They should be forced to lay out.
Who's a journalist?
Yeah. All the outlets that are because
kosher,
because therein lies a major, major First Amendment lawsuit right there.
I mean, I believe that if they're going to make this ruling, the court needs to, don't you ladies agree, the court needs to write the law and state that so that they can be on the record for it.
Yes, and they need to get more specific about who they're talking about are real journalists, because then other people can go into court and show how these so-called real journalists aren't real journalists by virtue of what they report and how they report. I mean, that's just crazy. That's just
this is about as third rail as it gets.
Yeah.
This is such a third rail subject.
Yeah. So
nobody wants to touch the subject. So first of all, God bless you and before we go any further, because I want to do this a couple of times in this hour, I want to know where people can both find you and donate to your cause.
Send money for your legal defense. Yeah.
Absolutely. I'll make it real quick. Our official website with all of our news and reporting, and we have an actual news media site. We put out 12 to 15 articles and reports a day on everything going around in the country, as well as our own investigations. And that's just at the DCPatriot.com. It's just thedcpatriot.com. And then our GoFundMe, we kept it simple. It's just GoFundMe.com/thedcpatriot. And if you go there, you can donate to to our investigations, and it'll help us with our travel and legal fees and things of that nature. And we're in a battle for sure. I mean, it's unbelievable, and they know what they're doing. Like, for example, a lot of the stuff that they'll have, they'll say, we need these documents produced, and I'll go in to look for the documents. Keep in mind, I'm not this big company, like, I'm not a big media group like Fox or CNN or MSNBC. It's me.
Right.
I don't have, 12 people on staff that can go search for information, so I'm the one that has to dig, and I'm a single dad. I've got two daughters. I mean, it's overwhelming.
Yeah, it's rough. So who are his lawyers? Because, I find it very interesting that when Batowski got in touch with, he was talking to the Riches, Mr. and Mrs. Rich, the parents of Seth and Aaron, they told Batowski that they didn't really have the funds to hire an investigator to look into Seth's murder. And Batowski, out of the kindness of his heart, offered to pay for an investigator, and of course that blew up in his face, which is a long story we won't go into. But I mean, is Aaron, I understand, works or has worked for the Defense Department.
Yeah, tell
so
us
he
about
can't
Aaron
be,
Rich.
Yeah, he can't be a millionaire by any means, and yet some of these lawyers, I understand, are making, are like $1,800. I don't know if this is true, but they are they're platinum-plated lawyers. So could you talk about
And the DNC affiliated.
Right.
To the extreme.
Sure. No, I can tell you that. Yeah, I mean, the lawyers, I mean, I won't name them, but anybody can go out and find the court doc. It's, it's Rich V. Batowski. I want to say like CV-00681 is the case. It's there's a court docket on. You can go find a lot of the information in the filings. But the attorneys suing us, they're $1,800 an hour attorneys. One is associate White House counsel for Barack Obama.
Could you say that again, please?
Yeah, let's slow this way down. This is super important.
Say it again.
One of the attorneys suing us, the lead attorney, is the former associate White House counsel for Barack Obama.
Okay. Who else?
Another one. He's a big partner at Boies Schiller Flexner, David Boies' firm, the biggest Democrat law firm in the country. So you've got the two biggest Democrat law firms in the country with both their legal arms, and they say they're doing it pro bono.
What's your character, if you were a novelist writing about the character, maybe this is the dumbest question I could answer because you're involved in so many lawsuits back and forth, but I'm curious about your take on Aaron Rich. Did somebody get to him? And again, you can say, I can't answer that. Just your sense of what's the story here?
I can't comment on him at all right now because he's the one suing.
Yeah, makes sense. Okay.
Could you also, this may seem like to the left a bit of this whole situation, but I don't know. There's a whiff of smelly connections here. And I don't know, okay? I just want you to talk about it. Sean Lucas, I hadn't heard anything about him until very recently. Could you talk about him?
Sure, absolutely. Sean Lucas is another investigation that our team is investigating. We do believe, as we continue to peel the onion back, that we're going to see a tie-in between he and Seth Rich, a possible friendship. I don't want to go into too many details just because of the fact that, it's an ongoing investigation that we're doing and we're conducting. Plus, there are people in that case, which that has nothing to do with the lawsuit that I'm in, but it has to do with, the possibility of the Seth Rich murder. Sean was found mysteriously, he was found dead mysteriously in his bathroom 3 weeks after Seth Rich. He was the process server that served Debbie Wasserman Schultz in the DNC and the DNC fraud lawsuit. And it's interesting that Sean was mysteriously found dead, and the very next day the DNC lawyers filed wrongful process server charges against the firm suing them. And, of course, the process server was dead, and he could not defend himself. I mean, these are real stories. You can go out and find the information.
What did he die of?
Well, here's the kicker. They have they've also blocked, you know, all of our information that we've FOIA'd on Sean Lucas as well, the District of Columbia has. But we have talked to some people very, very, very close to him. I don't want to name any of the names.
Right.
I can give you some details from someone who actually, you know, found the body. And, you know, basically the interesting thing about that was is that with Sean Lucas, when they found him, he had a huge gash on his forehead. He was face down in his bathroom. There was no blood anywhere, and he was missing a front tooth, but there was no blood anywhere, according to the person we spoke with who found the body and notified police. And so it's very, very interesting. It was a fentanyl overdose is what the original medical examiner's conclusion was. Talking to our sources that were very close to Sean, he was a vegan, very healthy, had got into, working out, was really a health nut. He was a prominent DJ in Washington, D.C. So it was one of those things where nothing adds up in that case either.
I want to go back. Go ahead.
No, you all go right ahead.
Okay. Okay, go ahead, Christina.
I want to go back to the witness who, by the way, you can just Google the witness and that witness's name will come up, okay? But this reminds me of something that you were saying about the witness that you discovered, was that the witness apparently knew Seth or had been, in the same place as I remember something about your reporting on that.
Who called 911, first of all, when he was shot?
There was no 911 call on Seth Rich. In D.C. and San Francisco and some other major metropolitan areas, they have a program called CIC ShotSpotter. It's a GPS triangulation system that sits on the top of skyscrapers in the city, and it can pick up gunshots, and it alerts police to the exact geographic location. And it'll ping where the gunshot went off. And so so what happened was when the shots were fired, CIC ShotSpotter notifies the police and says, shots fired at this address, at this exact location. And the police are able to pounce on the area where it was actually fired, and some of the bigger, more wealthy cities have really high tech systems like that in place.
Yeah. So about the connections between this person and Seth, didn't you write something about that, or am I?
Some of my guys, Hannibal Moot and Larry Beach on our team, some of the guys did some really a deep dive on that person, and we believe there was pictures of her, and then pictures of Seth in the same building and at the same places, hanging out at the same places. We were never able to tie the two together because she didn't respond. We left, business cards. I don't have business cards, but Bill Pierce, who has Pierce Investigations, one of my PIs, left cards at, the last three known residences of her with notes asking her to call and reach out. So we did everything we could in D.C., to try to locate her. But we weren't able to tie it together. But just from our research, they would have definitely had a chance to cross paths because they were on social media. You could see them both hanging out at the same establishment.
Yeah, I see. What I see here, it says, we've now uncovered that and Seth Rich hung out at the same establishments, the same bars around D.C., the same restaurants around D.C. If that's not enough, we're even finding out that she volunteered at the same shelter. I assume that's an animal shelter.
Yes.
That Seth Rich liked to volunteer at. Statistics show that most people know their killers. We're digging in, America. Stay tuned. So I was like, creeped out by that.
So we have a big elephant in the room from this week about the emails that were that you guys got out of the FBI that connected Strzok Page and the name Seth Rich. Could you tell us about that? That was a big bombshell.
Absolutely. So on October 27th, good Lord, my brain's all over the place.
It's
on
okay.
January 27th, I was looking at an article trying to find the one you were talking about. I'm sorry. On October 27th, January 27th, we broke this information on the Page and Strzok emails about Seth Rich. It came out in a judicial watch drop on the 26th of January. And we're glad that they're finally getting involved. I mean, we put a little heat on them. People have been, messaging them. I wish that they would have gotten involved a lot sooner. But we could use all the help we can get in this investigation. Yesterday, Judicial Watch sued the FBI for Seth Rich information and records, so that's a big help for us. But when we broke these emails on the 27th of January, there are emails between Peter Strzok and Lisa Page about Seth Rich, and one of the interesting ones is I squashed that is right. mentioned in one of the emails talking about Seth Rich between those two. The amazing thing to me is that it's always these two that seem to be involved in everything, the Russia hoax, you know, the Ukrainian nonsense, and now, of course, the Seth Rich emails. It's unbelievable how these two seem to be everywhere where there's corruption.
What did Julian Assange say specifically about when he mentioned Seth Rich by name?
What he said was that there was a DNC staffer that was shot in the back, murdered, and he did it unprompted on August 30th, 2016, and he did it on a Dutch TV show. The host said, "Well, what are you insinuating? Was mm-hmm. one of your sources?"
Saw that.
And Julian says, "We don't. You know, WikiLeaks doesn't reveal our sources." And the host says, "Well, then why make the assumption or why make the suggestion?" And Assange says, "Well, our sources are I can't recite the whole thing verbatim, but he says our sources are very concerned when things like this happen." He also mentions how the stakes are very high in the United States elections, and it's really eerie stuff. But it sounds to me, like he's alluding to that other people connected to Seth Rich and the leaking were very concerned for their lives. That's how I took it.
Well, also, then he puts up a reward for Seth, anyone who can provide good information on the murder of Seth Rich, right? Why would he do that? I don't think he's done that for any other anybody else, have they?
No, ma'am. That was the first time they'd ever offered an award.
This story is so dark and so forbidden. Can I just pull back a little bit, Matt, and ask you a big picture question, which I know you, you've had a long time to think about. Why is this story so forbidden? Why is it such a third rail subject? What are the consequences of the truth coming out about Seth Rich?
I believe the Seth Rich murder is the card that will bring the entire house of cards down in Washington, D.C., there's a video that we put out several years ago. You can find it on our website. Lots of people have shared it around. It's about a two-minute video. And in the video, the narrator says, if the Republicans have the chance to step on the throat of their political opponents and in the Democratic Party once and for all, and they refuse to do so, what is wrong with this case? Yeah. And I truly believe that this is not just a Democrat issue or a DNC issue.
That's right.
There's a reason that the other side does not want this case solved either. There's been no one that's reached out, politically. We took information to folks within the House Intelligence Committee in April of 2018. We haven't heard a peep back. Finally, Tom Fitton's getting involved after, we've been on this for 3 years. I mean, I'm not jaded. I've been screaming for these guys to get involved. We need all the help we can get. I'm glad. I'm blessed he's finally doing it. But, it had to get popular again for somebody to step up. And I think that's sad.
Matt, I have to press really you again. Why is this how does the House of Cards, as you say, come down via this case? Just walk us through that for somebody who knows next to nothing.
Sure, absolutely. Well, I think when I say that, you have to look at the Russia hoax. If the Seth Rich case is solved, everything they led the American public through for the last 3 years was a lie.
Yep.
That's huge. You're talking multiple congressional members, almost every member of the Democratic Party, almost every member of the Department of Justice, several RINOs and Republicans. You're talking the majority of the United States government would be involved in a treasonous coup if we solve this case. And I think that's something that is very, very alarming and very scary. My parents tell me all the time, that they're very concerned that I'm doing this. There's a lot of people that, want me to back off, not just the other side, but, people close to me because of safety concerns. But I'm telling you, if we solve this case, and I believe we're going to, we're continuing to push hard, and it's going to unravel our government as we see it. And I think that's the real don't touch it. And of course, it's the old Project Mockingbird thing. The CIA started using the conspiracy thing back with Kennedy. You know, I mean, if they don't want you to talk about something, they label it a conspiracy. If they don't want you talking, they label you a conspiracy theorist. And now they're using those labels with racist and other things, and it's just any way to shut you up by labeling you, and that's what they do.
Yeah, and the emotional gaslighting fig leaf here is a common one, that you're being inhumane toward the family for trying to solve the murder of Seth Rich.
Correct.
I got to tell you, I think that family is in the most difficult, painful, horrific, existential vise of any set of parents I can think of in this country, because they have to jump in bed with possible suspects of their son's murder to, I think, protect their other son from being dragged into this. What do you think of that?
I think there's a chance of that. I really do. I mean, I've never had any ill will towards the family whatsoever. Never.
You can't. You can't.
I mean, it's bad. I mean, now they're trying to claim that I said things about Aaron, and and they're trying to say certain things, and they're trying to interpret what I meant by what I said, and trying to, that's the whole premise of their lawsuit. I believe that Seth and Aaron were heroes. I believe that they were whistleblowers. I don't believe, in anything other than that. They were blowing the whistle on corruption.
Yeah.
And I think that the family needs to hear that. They were heroes. I don't consider them anything less.
I don't think the family has a choice, because I think the family itself may be being used as the fig leaf to cover, and that's a very powerful fig leaf, the parents of a dead child protecting their child who's that the fig leaf that protects the DNC and all those people from any scrutiny on this issue. They've placed the parents in front of them.
Yeah.
And that to me is
what if you could have any piece of forensic information, what would it be? What might solve this case?
I think it's certain information. Bank records, eBay and PayPal records, phone records.
Yeah.
The body cams I think are very, very crucial in this. Frank Whalen, who was the head of NYPD homicide for 23 years, on my group and my team, whatever you want to call it. Frank, I asked Frank yesterday when we got some other FOIAs denied, I said, man, is this normal? And his response was, I won't say the complete response on the air, but his response was, no, this isn't how any investigation is.
Highly related. Abnormal, everything, right? Yeah.
Yeah. And I want to reiterate this to your listeners out there too. When the left and these other attorneys, they like to think, oh, it's just Matt Couch, a fringe conspiracy theorist. Well, I've worked with Bill Pierce. I've known Bill for over 20 years. I've been on cases with him. I've worked PI cases. I've helped him. I've tailed people. I've been in the media. I was, used to host the morning show for ESPN Radio before I got into politics. And then Frank Whalen, the head of NYPD homicide for 23 years. We had an insider with D.C. police, who was the reigning officer of the year. We have a Metropolitan SWAT commander. We have multiple folks that are former and current federal agents involved in military intelligence. When all of my guys that are, multiple law enforcement guys are looking at me and telling me, this is not how a normal homicide investigation is ran. You look at Rod Wheeler. Same thing for Rod Wheeler. The first thing he said, he used to be a D.C. homicide detective, and now he's a PI out on the East Coast. Nothing about this case is normal. This is not how an investigation is ran. And that right there is, where is the bolo? Someone is shot, what's the first thing that, if somebody is actually responsive and they've been shot, what's the first question an officer is going to ask?
Be on the lookout. Mm-hmm. Bolo.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Who shot you? Mm-hmm. Who shot you?
Yep.
And then they're going to say, looking for a white male with a red ball cap,
right.
Wearing blue jeans,
right.
Moving south on Flagler Street.
Yep.
I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. There was no BOLO ever issued. The body cams are being denied. There's not the, the two ATM machines that he would have walked by had a malware virus that night. And then we haven't even talked about Seymour Hersh, you know, the darling.
Let's talk about Seymour Hersh. Yeah. You may not know, Matt, but Christina, I was in Spain at the time with my son, but Christina was, Christina interviewed Cy Hersh and confronted him very bravely about this whole thing. If you haven't heard that show, I'll send it to you.
And please do.
Yeah, it was very, he became very irate indeed. How would you characterize it, Christina?
Well, he just got very uncomfortable and he said, well, there are disclaimers for that. There are disclaimers for that. And I said, well, what disclaimers? And he said, well, they're just disclaimers. I thought you were talking about something else, but for that, they're disclaimers. And of course, I had to ask him at the very, very end of the show. Because the show would have been over if I'd asked him in the middle or the beginning of the show. I think it would have been over. But you know, his telephone conversation with Batowski is absolutely explosive. I mean, when
and
he talks
Cy
about
Hersh
the FBI,
supposed to be the gold standard of the journalist,
exactly.
Who is afraid of nothing and backs down for nothing. And
here's
know.
The thing that I'm concerned about for you. Is
that would be Matt Couch, by the way, who backs down
Matt.
For nobody and nothing.
My concern for you is that you're running this. This is all being run through a rigged judicial system. You know, it's very interesting.
Oh, let's talk about the judge.
Yeah, I mean,
the
yes.
judge of this week. Sorry, what's his name? I know he's
Leon,
got a bow tie.
Judge Leon,
right? Who's friends with John Podesta,
oh,
or would
God.
You say colleagues?
John Podesta.
I looked that up.
Oh.
I was looking into that the other day.
Oh, Lord.
It's hard to say if these guys are, you know, friends, colleagues, but there are photographs
oh,
of
Lord.
Them. There are email exchanges between them published on WikiLeaks.
Oh, talk about Judge Leon, will you?
I don't really want to talk about the judge in the case.
good idea.
I think that's probably a bad idea. I will say this much. I mean, I'm a Husky kid, and I do like the bow tie that he's sporting. So I got to learn how to wear it.
All right, but here's the thing. Okay, so I guess you don't want to talk about the rigged judicial system while you're like fighting it, but submitting to it.
Well, let's talk about what hope there is. Let's talk about
well,
that.
Well, wait, before okay. we do that,
yeah,
this is a bigger problem that I see. In all of these major, major investigations that may or may not involve malfeasance on the part of governments, government agencies, political leaders, et cetera, is, first of all, when you ask an investigation or a reinvestigation if something has been closed, you have to go back to the same agencies that engaged in the malfeasance and corruption in the first place. I mean, and if you, and the justice system that aided and abetted that. So I guess my question to you is, I hope the justice system upholds the rule of law, although it doesn't, right now, I'm a little, I question that in your case just by virtue of them calling you an amateur journalist and all that stuff. You know, they're trying to find a way. They're clearly trying to find a way out of, you allowing to protect your status and your as a journalist and your sources. So, what do you think would help you to make the justice system and make these agencies get to the bottom of this?
Well, I think, you know, I'll tell you right now what I've learned in the last, last 96 hours. And I'll say this. I said this to my attorney last night. They are lashing out at me. They are mad as HE double hockey sticks at me, and I'll tell you why. Because for the last year, during this litigation, I was hoping that I could just make it go away. I don't have the means to fight them. I don't have the resources. You know, I'm an individual who has a bunch of pro bono patriots who assist me. and I was just hoping to make it go away. We were actually in settlement talks. You know, I was trying to basically say, okay, well, if I apologize, I didn't think I offended him. What didn't mean to, but what if I, you know, issue an apology and we'll not mention the brother anymore and just conduct our investigation, right? And,
yeah.
And this is when I knew what they were up to, ladies. This was in April of last year. They came back and they said, we talked to our client, and the only way that we will end the lawsuit against you is if you never talk about Seth Rich again and never investigate this again. Which you can't sue on behalf of the dead. There's many federal precedences in that. But so we have every right to investigate this. It's an unsolved murder. And that's when I knew what their mentality was. And I talked to different members, you know, that helped me out, you know, these pro bono patriots, as I call them. And, you know, I called, you know, we call ourselves a team, and they've even attacked us trying to say that we're a company. We're not a company. We don't have any assets. We don't have an office. We don't have, you know, it's unbelievable. So they've made all these different, you know, crazy accusations about us. And so I even have to be careful if I call our group a team. So now I'm just calling pro bono patriots because that's what they are. But I realized then in April of 2019 when that came back, and I talked to all the ones helping me, and they said, hey, we'll back you, whatever you want to do, Matt, but this isn't right. They don't have a right to silence your investigation. They don't have a right to silence you. You have a right to investigate this. And so we pulled back, and we didn't settle. And a few months later, I was blessed to, you know, meet Eden Quainton with Quainton Law up in New York, and he's been fighting for us ever since. And we're fighting back with everything that we have. You know, it would be nice to get enough funding that I could, you know, get him more money so that he could possibly hire another counsel, you know, to help him.
Matt, give us your GoFundMe address again. And I want to say earlier when I mentioned it, I said donate to your cause. And then I thought cause, it's not a cause, to your defense, to your legal defense. You're being absolutely,
sure.
It's very important, everybody. Anybody hearing this, if you have anything, please help if you can. Matt.
Well, and it's a legal defense fund too, and I also do this full time, and I'm sure you ladies totally get this. A lot of folks don't understand that when they see you putting out information and putting out 12 or 15 articles a day, you know. And I've always told our, you know, my followers this: if I go back to what I used to do, I used to be a national account exec for a Fortune 500 company. If I go back to that, which I could do, this case dies.
Right.
It's done. There's
right.
Nobody else in the country that's gonna do what I've done to keep this case alive for the last 3 years. And so you're not just, you know, funding the legal fees, but you're allowing me to do this and keep this case alive along with other cases that are like Sean Lucas and the Las Vegas shooting and other things that we're working on around the country. So our GoFundMe, folks, is GoFundMe.com/the DC Patriot. It's just GoFundMe.com/the DC Patriot. But, you know, getting back on the legal ramifications of this, like we were talking about with, you know, with what they want. They want to silence me. I'm convinced of that. You talked about the corrupt judicial system. I think we've seen that with what Sidney Powell's dealing with General Flynn. It's just it's a mess right now in this country. And I really think that, you know, Attorney General Barr and Durham and some of these guys, they have got to start. We got to see some folks start to perp walk, ladies, or this is going to get really disheartening for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Could we just list the number of ways we know that let's see, here's what I want to say. Okay, the Mueller investigation, as far as we know, Mueller never interviewed Julian Assange. Is that correct? Or made any attempt to say, where did you get those emails from? Am I right?
Yes, you are.
So, but then we have intermediaries. Who am I thinking of? Craig Sawyer? Is that right? The diplomat who, my sense is there was a diplomat in London who ferried the materials.
Oh, yeah, you're thinking of Craig Murray. Yeah, Craig Murray is one of my Navy SEAL buddies. I was like, wait a minute.
Sorry. What did I say? What name did I say? Craig?
Craig Sawyer. I was like, yeah, I know Craig.
Sorry,
yeah, I
not
know
Craig Sawyer. Craig Murray, right. So yeah. We have many moments where it's demonstrable how these emails got to WikiLeaks, would you say? I mean, how these files got to WikiLeaks.
Yes, ma'am. I think it's highly likely that Gavin McFadden was an intermediary between Seth and WikiLeaks as well. Highly likely.
Who's that?
Yeah, who's that? Sorry.
He was an attorney for Julian Assange.
Right.
Who mysteriously died and out of nowhere had lung cancer that nobody knew about, supposedly.
Oh, God. Oh, God. And you know what? What about Ellen Ratner? Where is she? Ellen Ratner being the lawyer who said she was filmed saying that she had had a meeting with Julian, and that she was the one who got Batowski involved because she said she had a meeting with Julian in the Ecuadorian embassy, and that he had said to her that he wanted Aaron and Seth's parents to know that Seth and Aaron had given him the DNC stuff because he was worried that Seth's death might be connected to them giving him the stuff. Now, she said that.
My memory is that Julian Assange only mentioned Seth, not that he said son, not sons. But sorry,
well,
I didn't mean to.
Well, maybe.
Okay.
I guess Batowski was the one who said that
the parents
when he called. And Ellen did not call them. Ellen asked Batowski to call the parents, and they said, oh, yes, we know that both our sons were involved, or something like that. But my point being, Ellen Ratner is videotaped saying this, and yet where is she? Have the D.C. police talked to her?
Have, of course not.
You know, I mean, where is she? Isn't she important to you and to your case as well? Matt?
She is, absolutely. I mean, she was one of Ed's sources, you know, from what all the lawsuit filings, you know, that he's filed say. So, yeah, she's very important. I'm sure that in this, you know, she will be deposed. I'm sure that's coming. And it's and subpoenaed as well. She's going to be pivotal in this. I mean, it's amazing. All of these people now, you know, like you mentioned, you know, your interview with Cy Hirsch, it's amazing, like, when you confront them on it, they're like, oh, and they go deer in the headlights, like, you know, it's like they didn't think that they were ever going to get called out on the information they were giving.
Yeah, yeah. That's fascinating to me. It's really, really fascinating to me.
Do you have a sense that the story is beginning to sort of come out from its frozen in the ice status, that it's emerging, that people are becoming emboldened around this?
I do. I think it reminds me of 2017 all over again, when the story was red hot, and you know we were the ones that were kind of pushing it then and leading the charge, and it, you know, and then of course Sean Hannity picked up on it, and then he got silenced, and so, but it reminds me of picking up steam again like it did in 2017. Now the question is, they're already suing me. They're already suing Ed Batowski. You know, the Washington Times already settled in this lawsuit. I don't, you know, in a undisclosed deal, so we don't know what's going on there. The person that the DNC assigned to the family sued myself, Batowski, and Gary Heaven. The interesting part about Gary Heaven, I don't even know Gary, but he is the CEO and founder. Have y'all ever heard of the Curves weight loss gyms for women?
Yeah, vaguely.
Yeah, I mean, he's got 10,000 gyms across the country. He's worth $3 billion. He went on InfoWars and mentioned some stuff about the Seth Rich investigation that we'd reported, and they sued him for it. That all got dropped. They dropped that one. Brad Bauman was the DNC crisis manager assigned to the family, and Joel Rich, you know, told Batowski he didn't know where Bauman came from or why he was assigned to them. So it's going to be interesting to see what's going on, because things are dropping off. This is the last lawsuit standing. And I had the point of bringing up, you know, Bauman suing myself, Batowski, and Heaven, and then they all getting dropped. My point is, are they going to start suing people again? Are they going to sue Tom Fitton and Judicial Watch now? Are
right.
they going to sue Jim Hofton, the Gateway pundit, because they're reporting on it now? Are they going to start firing up more lawsuits like they've done against myself and Ed? Or are they just realize that Ed and I are the tip of the spear, and they're going to just, you know, put all their weight on us?
Well, they went after the Veteran Intelligence Professionals for Sanity, the guys who did the
VIPs, yes.
Yeah, the analysis.
They've all been subpoenaed, right?
Yeah, they've all been subpoenaed for their information, where they got their information, who they talked to, and this and that and the
but
other,
too.
But
this is so clearly malicious, pernicious prosecution, not prosecution, what's the word for it, litigation.
Well, my question is, what are they going to do with that information? What do they think that they're going to be able to do with that information?
Well, I mean, they want to silence it. I mean, that's why they wanted our sources. There's no other reason they need our source. I mean, this is a defamation suit. I'm not denying anything that was said. It's on a program that I did. You know, it's on one of my own shows. So, you know, Ed's not denying anything that he said. So the defamation suit stands by itself that they're suing Ed and I for defamation. The information they're getting, and you both just hit the nail on the head, the information they're getting, like getting our sources, getting our information, getting our investigation conversations, getting things we're looking into, what would be the reasoning for that unless you just want to get that information so you can go try to silence all that?
Right, right.
But
except for a lot of the information is already out there.
Right.
I mean, the VIPs, exactly. The VIPs people are very transparent about how they, you know, how they conducted their analysis and who did it.
Well, here's what it comes down to. I'm primarily a print reporter. Let's say I pitched it to one of my print outlets, and I write for some pretty mainstream places. They would actually run the risk of being immediately sued if they let me cover this story about Seth Rich and you guys, right? I mean, that's the reality we live in.
Correct.
So it's actually not really possible for editors to just commission this story without risking major
lawsuits.
Litigation. And that's a very real problem. That's not just a problem of cowardice. That's a real problem.
Yeah, that's a problem that might need some legislation because
This is how they do it.
And the bigger the outlet, by the way, the bigger the outlet, the bigger the lawsuits and so on. So
I wish the Washington Times had fought them hammer and tong, but who am I to say they had the? By the way, what did the Washington Times do wrong in the eyes of these people who made them?
They wrote an article. They put an article out. I don't remember it off the top of my head. I mean, I remember bits and pieces of it. I don't have it in front of me. But there was an article that they put out from Admiral Lyons and, you know, basically talking about the Seth Rich case. You know, it had a lot of information that we'd uncovered in it. And, of course, the article mentioned, you know, Aaron Rich being involved. And what
based
you know,
on
what
Batowski's testimony.
Correct. And what the father told Ed Batowski. That's correct. And what Ed continues to claim to this day, his story's never changed, never wavered.
Right.
But he doesn't have
a recording of that. Is that the problem?
Correct. He does not have a recording of that. It's his word versus, the father's word. So, but it's amazing to me that this has really gotten this far. It really is. I mean,
this is crazy.
It's gonna get further. It is gonna get further. We're running. We've run out of time.
Yeah.
But we want to tell you that we really have. You have our deepest respect and admiration doing this, and we're hoping that people will hear this and send some money for your legal fund because. What you're doing is not just for yourself and your team, but it's for the nation.
For the nation.
Yeah.
For the whole country.
Thank you.
You're a real patriot.
Well, thank you, ladies, for having me on. It's been a true honor, and I really enjoyed spending the last hour with you two.
Thank you, Matt.
He is the D.C. Patriot.
He is the D.C. Patriot. TheDCPatriot.com, Matt Couch. Before I start hearing that music, I think I have time to give your GoFundMe one more time.
Yep.
For you to give it, would you, Matt?
Okay, absolutely. Yes, ma'am. It's GoFundMe.com/TheDCPatriot.
GoFundMe.com/TheDCPatriot. Let's all be patriots and do what we can and back this incredible American and everybody who's fighting with him. I'm Celia Farber. You've been listening to the Whistleblower Newsroom.
And I'm Christina Borgeson.